I'm sure we've heard and read Megillas Eicha, but maybe not had a chance to look at it somewhat in depth. So that's what I want to try to do. There are five prakim in Megillas Eicha, and we'll try, hopefully, barring anything unforeseen, over the next five Thursdays to be able to go through each of the prakim of the Megillah. The Eicha was composed by Yirmiyahu HaNavi, and is the prophecy of Yirmiyahu HaNavi that relates to the Churban of the Beis Hamikdash, as opposed to other Svarim that we have in Tanakh that really relate to us more of a story or some sort of narrative. This is, as the book is called in English, Lamentations, right? It's the feelings, it's the thoughts of Yirmiyahu HaNavi in terms of the Churban that was taking place, why it is that the Churban was taking place. But some of the Mefarshim explain that it really wasn't about depressing Klal Yisrael. It wasn't about telling them, told you so, you know, everything was predicted by the Navi, and that this was going to happen if you did not do tshuva and you did not do what you're supposed to be doing. But rather, the message seems to be, and again, occasionally we have this interspersed in the actual text, but the message seems to be that just like these Nebuah Simantur B'Akiva, when the Shualim were walking through the Kodesh HaKadoshim, was confident that if the Nebuahs of destruction came true, then the Nebuahs of Yeshua and of rebuilding and of Geula and of redemption, those are all going to come true as well. And that seems to be part of Yirmiyahu's message as well, which is that not everything is lost. And we may have hit a bottom, and there may be a low, but that does not mean that the Klal Yisrael cannot rise up again. So there are five prakim. Again, we'll look at each of them individually. Most of the prakim, not all of the prakim, but most of the prakim are 22 psukim. Why are they 22 psukim? Because each pasuk begins with a different letter of the aleph base. Right, that's why it starts with Eicha. The next Bachazog is Bacho Sivke, then Golsa Yehudi Meone, Darche Tzion, and we continue across the acrostic of the different letters of the Alphas, which again indicates that whatever was written down with careful deliberation and was written down with careful thought by Yirmiyahu. Again, I think the Gemara explains that some of it was not actually written by Yirmiyahu. His Talmud Baruch ben Neriah wrote down the thoughts of Yirmiyahu, but that's inconsequential, really, who actually put the words into the Megillah. But what is certainly important is that these were the messages that he wanted us to walk away from for all time, and that is what the Navi is relating over here. So we'll start from the beginning. We'll explain the Pesukim, and then we'll try to point out different ideas and themes that arise, and we'll see what we can do with it. So it begins with the description of Yerushalayim in a state of destruction. Eicha yashva vadad, ha'ir abas yam, ha'isak amana. So first he laments, right? How can it be that this once great, crowded city of Yerushalayim now sits alone? Now sits alone. She has become without support, like an amana, like a widow. What does that imply? It implies two things. It implies first of all that Yerushalayim is alone and being destroyed. But again, it means that the comparison to the widow is that, I mean, there's a husband who's no longer there, and that we are distant from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's part of what he was crying out. Eicha, the Midrashim break down the word is in terms of Eiko. Where are those promises of Ko? Ko is a word that HaKadosh Baruch Hu often used to relate to the Avos and to give over messages of hope and what it was going to be and what it could be. And now we're sitting Badad. What does Badad also remind us of? Badad and the Mitzorah. The Mitzorah sits Badad. When there's a strong Midas Hadin, when the attribute of judgment is strong, we are left to be alone. We're like the Tzaras. But even the person who has Tzaras, there's a purpose to it. And the purpose is to be able to then go through a tshuva process and be able to return. Rabasi ba'goyim, sarasi ba'medinos, haisa lamas. Right? Great and important among the nations, was a princess, a ruler, a minister among the states. She's become like nothing, subservient to all the others. Meaning what? That the status of Yerushalayim was, Yerushalayim, Yirmiyahu was crying that there was this great city that everybody looked up to and all the nations of the world looked up to. And now everyone else, and again, the way that Marikara and others understand, Haisalamas refers to taxes. Everybody else always paid their taxes to Yerushalayim. This was the center of the world. And now its residents are paying taxes to other nations that have taken over and conquered Yerushalayim. B'chos sivke b'layla, v'dimaso alechayo ein lo minachem mikol oveha. She, meaning referring to this widow, referring to Yerushalayim, weeps at night, right? Ashamed, right? And her tears are on her cheeks. What's the significance of it being at night? That night generalizes the time when we feel most alone and we feel most vulnerable, and we cried over that night. The Medrash says that it's the same way, that it's the same night. The Tisha B'Av is the night that we cried bechinam when the Meraglim returned and we cried for no reason. And Hashem said this is going to be a night when there's always going to be crying in the future. And there is nobody. The Jews, they have a connection. They have a love, but it's not enough to be able to bring about. Again, it might be political, it might be for other reasons, but there is no way that they can satisfy whatever it is that they're missing. Because the ones that were closest, the real allies, have betrayed and become enemies. Right, which refers to some of the Jews who betrayed, and also all of the nations, every other nation that we thought that we got along with, at this point doesn't want to have anything to do with Yerushalayim, not interested anymore. When once our status went down, they don't want any connection to us, they don't want to have anything to do with us. Golso Yehuda meoni umerov avoda hi yashva vagoyim lo matza monach. Yehuda has been exiled in Meoni with affliction and enslaved, right? Settled among the nations, finding no rest because all of those that pursue her have overtaken her. They took the opportunity to attack. As long as we were doing the Ratzon of Hashem, then we rose to the top. But as soon as we sinned, then Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuzaradan, whoever it was, they realized that they had the opportunity, they had the opening to be able to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. There are those that see, I think the Bnei Yisachar has a drush, says, Korod fea hi sigua bein ha-mitzarim. So Bein HaMitzarim, between the straits, that's the term that we use, again, based on this language, for between the 2 days of Tzar, for between Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av. We call it the period of Bein HaMitzarim, because for us, that's when we are stuck in between the days. So he breaks it up, he says, Korod Feha, he breaks up the word, Korod Fei Ka. Anybody who runs towards Hashem, he Sigua Bein HaMitzarim, will be able to reach him, Bein HaMitzarim, between Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, meaning it's a potential time of tshuva. Whenever there's a midas adin, whenever there is more judgment, then we have the opportunity that comes along with it of being able to turn ourselves closer to Hashem. Darchei Tzion Avelos mi b'li bo emoed, right? The paths to Yerushalayim are Avelos. They're in mourning. There's nobody there. Mi bli bo em away. The ones who would come for Yontif. That was the time when the roads were most busy. Coming to Shalayim, people would be Ola the Regel. People would come to bring their kabonos. People would come with their families. We don't have that. We don't have the festival traffic anymore. Kol she'areha shomemin kohaneha ne'anochim. The she'arim, the gates of the city are desolate. Again, there's nobody coming in. Kohaneha ne'anochim. And the kohanim, they're moaning. Why? Because their whole existence as kohanim, not as people, but as kohanim, is to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. And there is no Beis HaMikdash. There is nobody, there is nowhere for them to do this, there is nowhere to do the avod anymore. When they reflect back on what they had, again, unfortunately, it's often like that. We don't appreciate what we have until we don't have it anymore. And as much as Yirmiyahu was trying to warn them prior to the Chorban that this would come, until they saw it, they didn't realize what they were losing out on. Besuloseha nugos vihi mar la. The young women are nenachos. They're almost depressed, and she is embittered. It hit everybody. There was nobody who was spared. There was nobody who was spared from any of the tsar that comes from the Churban. Pasukei. Hayu tzareha l'rosh oiveha shalu, ki Hashem hoga arov pishaeha, olaleha chushevi lifnei tzar. Right, the ones who besieged Yerushalayim became l'rosh, became up on top. Everything was good for them. Why? Ki Hashem hoga arov pishaeha. Right, the Navi is stressing that it's not because they're stronger. It's not because the nations are... Yes, the nations are on top. And the nations might think that it's because of their greatness, but it's not. It's Ki Hashem Hogaro Pesha'eha. Hashem decided that it was time for them to be punished, meaning the Yerushalayim, the Jews, to be punished for what they had done. For what they had done. It reached the breaking point. Olelaha halchu shevi lifnei tzar. And as a result, even the infants, even the small child, were being led into captivity. Again, when is this? At the time of Yehoyakim until the Golus Bavel, they were being led out. Everybody was going into Golus. Vayitzeim yibas tzion kol hadara, and all of the glory of Yerushalayim has been diminished. It's disappeared. Right, the princes they're hungry and they're lost like a deer that have not found anywhere to eat. They're looking around and then they don't know what to do. They went powerless in front of their enemies and they were led into captivity by their new masters. The Bizayon that they were now going through was like something that they never were able to quite imagine. And when do they really feel it? In Pasuk Zayin, Zochro Yerushalayim Yimei On Yom Roda, Komach Moda Asher Hayim Yimei Kedem. They think back to the glory, what we had, to the glory of Yerushalayim, the days when we were being afflicted, right? Suddenly we remember what was and how good things were. And it almost makes the disgrace of where they found themselves at that moment so much more and so much more intense because we had it all. We had it all and we let go. And what happened? Asher Yimekan bin Fola Mob Yatzar Ve'eno Zela Ra'ua Tzarim Socha Kua Mishpateha. And everybody was mocking them, right? We became the laughing stock of the world. That suddenly we're proclaiming to be Hashem's chosen people, and He's thrown us out of the land. He threw us out of the land. And what also happened? Chet chata Yerushalayim al kin l'nidahayasa kol mechabdehi ziluk hira'u ervasa gam hinen chavatasha v'chor. Right? The sin of Yerushalayim has become public and it created distance the same way that the nida has become distant from her husband. But it's more than that. Everybody started hizilub is making fun kira whoever saw because they saw the truth. They saw the nakedness. They saw that all the sins that they had done, they couldn't keep it private anymore. As long as it was a family affair and it was just between us and God, Okay, so it's not so embarrassing. Nobody in the rest of the world knows if they're worshipping Avodah Zarah, if they're not worshipping Avodah Zarah, whatever the particular crimes that they were guilty of and the sins that they were guilty of, nobody else saw what was going on. And at that point, it was much easier to do tshuva. But now there was a tremendous Chilul Hashem, because now their sins have been revealed to the entire world to see this disgraced state that they are in. And that caused everybody else to mock them. What have you done to yourselves? And that is part of what was, again, so terrible about what they did. Tumasa bishuleha. Their impurity is on the edge of their garments. Lo zachra acharisa. Vatere piloim eimenachem la. Re Hashem mesoni. Right, we never imagined that this would actually happen. Right, we never thought that the words of the Navi would actually come true. Right? We had declined the far beyond anybody's expectations, and because of that, there's nowhere to get comfort from. It's like the worst possible situation. And therefore, the only place we could turn is Re Hashem Esani, Yigdil Oyev. You know, for a moment, the Navi shifts gears for a second and says, "We need you. We need you. There's no other way for us that we're going to be able to connect. That we're going to be able to survive, Yigdil Oyev, because the enemy has become completely encompassing and all empowering. Yodo Paras." Tsar al kol machmada, ki rasa goyim bo mikdasha, asher tzivisa lo yavo v'kohol lach. Right, the enemy, the one who was besieging Yerushalayim, has spread his hand over all of her delights, all the good things, and she saw the nations were coming into the mikdash. Right, these are the ones who were not allowed to, again, Amun and Moab, and nations that were not allowed to come into be part of the Jewish people, not allowed to come into the Mikdash. And that very same place, when they're the Makam HaMikdash is now, they're trampling through it. And it was just, a tremendous, tremendous Chilul Hashem that was created. And again, yes, God brought it about, but it was as a result of the sins and of what the Jewish people had done. Kol amon enochim mevakshim lechem nostu machamadehem be'ochel l'hashiv nafesh re'ei Hashem v'habita ki yoyisi zoleila. It's a pasuk Yud Aleph. Right, all the people of Yerushalayim, they're sighing, they're looking for bread. They've given over everything, all of their delights. Everything that they own of any value has gone over to the other nations of the world. They're starving. And we would and give anything just for food. Look how far we've fallen and been disgraced in front of everybody else. We've become abject. There's nothing else for us to do. And at this point, we turn to Hashem. And Re'e Hashem v'abita, look, Yaisi Zoleila. And it's the beginning of trying to have a little bit of a tshuva process, again, that we recognize. We recognize the impoverished state that we are in and the responsibility that we bear for it. Lo alechem kol ovrei derech habitu uru'u im yesh machov kemachovi asher olali asher hoga Hashem v'yom charon apo. Right, so Yerushalayim now turns to the people who pass through it, and tells them, may not befall you, all the wayfarers, the people passing through, there is no pain like my pain, which has been done to me, right? With what Hashem has brought upon me. And the message that the Navi seems to be trying to relate here is that this all comes from Hashem. And it can happen to anybody, and don't let it happen to you. But as long as you, as soon as you turn away from Hashem, then anybody can potentially be punished in this way. There's no nation that has been punished as we've been for veering from the proper path. There's no pain that is like ours because it comes from Hashem. And but part of that is that when we understand that it comes from Hashem, is that that's our way of also expressing that we know that there is a path back. There is a path back, because it's not the koach, it's not the energy, it's not the power of our enemies that is overwhelming us. Mimarom shalach esh ba'atzmo sai va'yerdena, paras reshes d'raglai yashivan yachorne sanani shomimah kol hayom dava. Right? From up high, that's where the fire came down. Right? And he crushed them, he flattened, he destroyed them. Right? He spread a net for my feet. And once I was caught in it, he set me back. I became desolate and suffering and completely distant from Hashem. And here also we're recognizing that where the Esh came from above. This wasn't just what the enemies did to us. We understand that it comes from Hashem. Niskad ol pishai biyado yistargu alu al tzavri hechshil kochi. Nisanani Hashem bidei lo uchal kum. Right? It's the yoke, the burden of the sins is preserved in the hands of Hashem. What does that, what does that mean? I think what it means is that Hashem holds on to them. Not that he holds on to them because he wants to punish us. He holds on to them actually giving us a chance. We have a chance to do tshuva first. But at the end of the day, when we don't do it, then we do get punished for what it is. So Hashem, he does not forget our sins, and he waits until the right time to punish us. But we have to realize that at some point, he's holding on to too much, and he's holding on to it for too long, and he needs to punish us. He needs to punish us because the punishment at some point is going to be too difficult, and it's going to be too harsh. Silo chol abirai Hashem bekirbi kara alai moed lishpor b'achroi gas darach ad Hashem levisulas bas Yehuda. Right? The Lord trampled, Hashem trampled all my mighty in my midst. He proclaimed a festival of my any enemies against me, right, to break my young men. And he stepped upon the Yehuda, right, which is the term being used here for Yerushalayim, like the gas. What's the gas? It's the wine press. What does that mean, that it's like the wine press? So in the old-fashioned wine press, right, you step on the grapes. And what happens when you step on the grapes? The wine comes pouring out. And the mashal here is that we were stepped upon by our enemies like the grapes, and the blood was flowing everywhere. And the destruction, the way the Gemara describes the terrible, terrible destruction that was taking place, it was everywhere. It was everywhere. Al Eila ani bochia, and it's on these things that I cry. Eini eini yordamayim, my eyes are flowing with water. Kirachak many menachem mishiv nafshi, because there's nobody who can bring any consolation. There's nothing that can comfort me. The Navi is saying the pain is so great. It needs to be a constant pain, because it's only through the pain and remembering the churban that the potential for gula is going to come. My children were completely desolate because the enemy has become so strong. Right, Zion has been spread out in their hands. There's nobody that can comfort. Hashem has commanded for Yaakov, right, for the Jewish people, that those that besiege surround them on all sides. And Yerushalayim has been completely disgraced and separate from everybody else. The other nations of the world, again, have no interest in being connected to Yerushalayim anymore. Tzadik hu Hashem kifiu marisi. And here the Navi, though, it says that we have to remember that this isn't because God is not just. It is specifically because God is just. And Hashem is right because we rebelled against Him. Shimuna kol ha'amim uru machovi b'sulosai u'acharai hochu b'shevi. And we call out to all the people about all the pain that we have experienced, right? All those who seem to be who I've in the past I've held in great esteem, they're the one who are causing us to turn away from Hashem. That's the continuation in Pasuk Yates. Karasi lama avai. So I called out to the ones that we had a relationship with, the other nations. Hey, Marimuni. And they're tricking me. They don't want me anymore. Kohanai was a kanai boyer gavaro. Nobody wants us anymore. They've deceived me, right? And the Kohanim and the elders, who again are the ones who usually are supported by the public, right? They're the ones who get the gifts of the kahuna and otherwise, they have nothing. They're trying to restore their lives and sustain themselves, but they have no ability. They have no ability to do it. Pasachof, Re'e Hashem Kitzar Li. So look, Hashem. Again, here the Navi turning to directly to HaKadosh Baruch, right? There are shifts. Sometimes turning to the nations of the world, sometimes turning to the Jews, and sometimes to God Himself. And here turning to God, he says, look, I'm in distress. My kishkas inside me, it hurts. Right? Kitzar Li Me Aicham Ramara. I have a burning inside of me. My heart is turned upside down because it's so embittered. Right? And the outside, right, the sword bereaves in the house, it's like death, right? The outside, people are being killed everywhere. But even inside, there's this terror, there's this feeling. It's all-encompassing the what we are experiencing. Shamu kina nacha ani ein menachem li kolayvai shamu rasi sasu ki ata asisa hevesa yom karasa viyuchamoni. Right, they heard that I sigh and there's nobody to comfort me, and the enemies are hurt by my misfortune, and they were glad, they were excited, but in the end it was because at ki ata asisa. It's because of what you did, not blaming. But again, this is what you wanted, so please, Hashem, bring the day that they will be like me. That they will be on me. Hevisiyam karasa v'yuchamoni. You need to bring down our enemies. Returning to you. But the only way that we are going to get out of this is if you turn them into what we are experiencing right now. Tavol kol ra'asam lefonecha v'ol elamo. Kasher olatol yakol peshoi ki rabosan chosai v'li bidavai. Don't let them off. Right, just because they are fulfilling the word of God, the wishes of Hashem, they didn't have to do it. They didn't have to do it so strongly. They didn't have to do it and enjoy it. They are the ones, and they deserve to be punished for what they do. And that is how the parak concludes. Right, let all of their weaknesses, let all of their wickedness. Right, all of those who pretended to be friends and allies that have come before you, and do to them as you did to all of us. Right? Don't just remember the sins of the Jewish people, but you remember theirs as well, and bring them the retribution, bring them what they deserve, and that will, again, not that we're looking for the nekama per se, but to make sure that the name of God is again able to be elevated, and that we can begin the process of tshuva and the process of returning to Hashem.